Today's subject is Kamma. The subject of Kamma is a very important subject in Buddhism. And in this manual, it is taken for granted that you already know what Kamma is. And so, in this section, only the classification of Kamma and its results are described. But before we understand the classifications of Kamma, first we need to understand what Kamma is. The word Kamma is a Pali word. So literally, it means an action or what is done. So whenever people ask what is Kamma, the answer is Kamma is action. Action good or bad. But this is the popular definition of Kamma. But in one discourse, Buddha said, it is volition, monks, that I call Kamma. You can find that in the manual. So Buddha here said, it is volition that I call Kamma. That means volition is Kamma. So, technically speaking, Kamma is not necessarily the action, but the volition which arises in our mind when we do the Kamma. So, the Kamma is defined as something by the help of which we do the action. So in this definition, Kamma is like an instrument. When we want to do something, we need an instrument. So without that instrument, we cannot do it. Suppose we want to drive a nail into the wood, then we need a hammer. So in the same way, when we want to do something, we need this volition. Because if there is no volition, there will be no action at all. So, technically, what is Kamma? The answer is, volition is Kamma. Now, what is volition? Volition is a mental state, or a chetasika. It is one of the 52 chetasikas taught in the second chapter. And there you find the chetasika chetana. So that chetana is what we call Kamma. But whenever we do something, it is always with chetana. So without chetana, without volition, there can be no action. So they are so connected to each other that for easy understanding, we may say Kamma is action, good or bad. But technically again, we say Kamma is the volition or chetana, which is a mental factor. As a mental factor, it lasts for only one thought moment, and then it disappears. You may remember that chetana, the mental factor chetana, belongs to a group called universals. That means this group of chaitasikas arise with every type of consciousness. So there are seven of them, and Chaitanya is one of them. So Chaitanya is concomitant with every type of consciousness, whether we take consciousness to be 89 or 121. So Chaitanya is concomitant with all 89 types of consciousness, or 121. Now, which Chaitanyas are called Kama? All Chaitanyas or only some Chaitanyas? According to the Pathana, the seventh book, there are two kinds of Kama. One Kama is called cognizant Kama. That means existing at the same time. So let us call it same time karma. And the other is called asynchronous karma. That means karma that arises at a different time. So we will call it different time karma. So there are two kinds of karma. Same time karma and different time karma. So same time karma means this karma arises at the same time as the ones that are conditioned by it. If we call them results, then this same time karma is one that arises together with the results. Different time karma is the one that arises differently with regard to time. So karma arises at one time and the results are produced at a different time. So there are two kinds of karma, or the karma condition taught in the seventh book of Pathana. And same time karma is just a supporting condition, not producing condition. It is a supporting condition. The volition arises with a type of consciousness and other chaitasikas. So when chaitana or volition arises with a consciousness and the mental factors, chaitana supports the chaita and the chaitasikas while both are existing. So that is called same time karma. It does not produce any results, but it just supports the other mental concomitants. Different time karma is what we understand as karma. It produces results. Since it produces results, it arises at one time and the results are produced at another time, maybe immediately after it disappears, or maybe thousands or millions of years away. So there are two kinds of karma, the same time karma and different time karma. What we are concerned with here is the different time karma, because this karma will have results. So we will talk about the results also. So here, karma means that the different time karma. And who accumulates karma and who does not? Now you all know that Buddhas, Arahants, and Paccika Buddhas do not accumulate karma. They do not accumulate karma because they have eradicated ignorance and craving altogether, which are the roots of karma. Since they have eradicated the roots of karma, which are ignorance and craving, they do not acquire karma. Even when they do some good deeds, they do not acquire karma. So an arahant may offer something to the Buddha, but he does not acquire the karma. It is not called a kusala karma. It is just kiriya, or it is just happening, or it is just arising of the consciousness. And those who have not eradicated ignorance and craving always accumulate karma. So long as we have ignorance and craving, we will always acquire karma when we do something good or bad. Now, you know that karma brings results. Karma gives results. Now, is it possible to escape the results of karma? Is it possible to escape the ripening of the karma? You do something good or bad, and can you escape from the results of that action, good or bad? Yes or no, right? I think it is sometimes yes. Mostly we say it is impossible, right, to escape the ripening of karma. We do something good and we will get the good results, and we do something bad and we will get the bad results. But now think of the Venerable Angulimala. Now, before he became a monk, before he became an arahant, he had killed thousands of people. And Buddha tamed him, and first he became a monk, and later he became an arahant. Because he attained arahantship, he was able to escape the ripening of the karmas he did as a robber. If he were to get the result of the crimes of murder he committed, he would not have got out of this samsara for a long, long time. But since he attained arahantship, since he eradicated ignorance and craving altogether, he was able to escape the results of or ripening of those karma. So we may say, for Buddhas, arahants and Paccika Buddhas, it is possible to escape the ripening of karma. But in another sense, even the Buddha cannot escape from suffering or experiencing the results of his past karma. That is, so long as Buddhas, arahants and Paccika Buddhas are living, so as long as their psychophysical personality persists, they cannot escape. Buddha often suffered from headache or backache. That is because of his bad karma in the past. And Venerable Mahamoggallana was clubbed to death by 500 robbers. So he suffered the painful consequences of his deed he did in the past. So long as they are living, they cannot escape from the results of their past karma. But once they attain parinibbana, they are no longer in the samsara. There is no more rebirth for them, and so we can say they can escape the results of their karma, whether good or bad. But normally speaking, it is impossible to escape the ripening of karma. Now, when we talk about karma, we talk about the results also. What exactly are the results of karma in Abhidhamma terms? In Abhidhamma terms, the result are the resultant consciousness. This resultant consciousness and the first seven resultant consciousness among the rootless consciousness, and then eight resultant consciousness, and then the eight resultant consciousness in beautiful sense sphere, and then five resultant consciousness in rupa vajra consciousness, and four in arupa vajra consciousness, and also these phala or fruition consciousness. So result of karma means the resultant consciousness, types of resultant consciousness, and mental factors arising together with them. And that is not all. Karma also produces matter. There are four causes of matter. The first is karma, the second is mind or citta, and the third is temperature or climate, and the fourth is food. So karma can produce material properties. So when we say the result of karma, we mean these three things. Some chittas and also some chittasikas that arise with those chittas, and also the matter originating from karma, that means which are produced by karma. So these three we call the result of karma. Now at the moment of conception, at the moment of rebirth, what arises is the combination of these three. Now let us say a person takes rebirth as a human being. Rebirth means conception in the mother's womb. So at the moment of conception, what arises is first one of the resultant consciousnesses, and then the chetasikas going along with it, and the material properties that are caused by karma. So what these material properties are, you will learn them in the sixth chapter. And also, there are some things that are not directly caused by karma. So they are secondary results of karma, and they are also called the result of karma. Now, as a result of dana, a person gets a great amount of wealth, properties. Now, these wealth or properties are not directly caused by karma, because it is said that the material properties caused by karma belong to the living body only. So we do not find any material things caused by karma outside ourselves, outside living beings. But as a result of karma, people may get things, properties, wealth, and so on. So these are said to be caused by temperature, which is conditioned by karma. So they are secondary results of karma. So they are also the result of karma. So result of karma includes not only the three, but also this last one. So this last one is the material properties, caused by temperature, which is conditioned by karma. So karma produces some material properties called temperature, and they produce some things like wealth, riches, or properties, and so on. So they are also the result of karma. How are results produced? Now, we say we do something good, let us say, and that action brings results. So that is a popular saying. But actually, the actions cannot bring results, cannot produce results. What produces results is the karma or the volition. Volition is a mental state, and that mental state has the potential to produce results in the future when conditions are favorable for it. And when they give results, they give similar results. Good karma giving good results and bad karma giving bad results. Mind is, or mental states are, very powerful. Because we have mind, we make movements. If we have no mind, we cannot make movements. We cannot say even we, because we have died and we have become a corpse. Then we cannot make any movement. But now we have minds, and so we are moving our hands and so on. Now these parts of our body move because of our mind, because I want to move. So there is movement. If I don't want to move, then there will be no movement. So mind, which is not physical, which seems to have no strength of its own, can cause the movement of this heavy hand. So mind has such power. My intention to move can cause material properties to arise in the hand, and then we say that is the movement of the hand. So mind has the power to produce. If our mind is a good mind, then good things are produced, and if our mind is bad mind, bad things are produced. Suppose a person is in the habit of killing living beings. And it is said that a person who as a habit kills a living being will be reborn in hell, and then when he is reborn as a human being, he will live a very short life. Now, that is because of the killing action he did in the past. So when a person kills a being, that means he wants his life to be short. He wants to make that being live a short time. So that desire for the life to be short, when it gives results, it gives to himself, because it is his desire for the life to be short, and so when it gives results, it gives back to him, and so in his future lives, he will live a short time. He will be short-lived. Now you offer something. When you offer something, you have the desire for the person to use it, to enjoy it. You want the recipient person to have many things. So that mind or that volition, when giving results, give the results back to you, because it is your volition, and so it will give results to you and not to another person. So when it gives abundance of things back to you. So on this principle, the mental state, a mental state which is here volition, produces results. and the kamma, which is volition or mental state, because it is a mental state, it arises and it disappears almost at that moment. It lasts for only one thought, brief moment. But unlike other mental states, when it disappears, it leaves the potential to give results in the continuity of beings. So, as a mental state, it is impermanent. As a mental state, it arises and it disappears. But other mental states just arise and disappear and leave nothing behind. But this particular mental state, which we call kamma, the volition or the cetasika cetana, is different. Although it is a mental state, it is not like other mental states. It can leave the potential to give results in the continuity of beings. So, when the circumstances are favorable for it to produce results, the results are produced. So, kamma has this power, this potential to give results. But it must get favorable conditions for it to give results. For good kamma to give results, it needs good favorable conditions, and for bad kamma to give results, it needs favorable bad conditions. So when they get the necessary conditions, then these kammas give results. And then people want to know where this kamma is stored. Once King Milinda asked such a question to Venerable Nagasena. He said, a bundle of mind and matter performs kammas. And where do these kammas go? Then the Venerable Nagasena said, it follows the being like a shadow that does not leave. Then the king asked, where do they exist? Where can we say they are? In this place or in that place? And Venerable Nagasena said, that cannot be stated. So we cannot say where the kamma is stored or where the kamma exists. Then the king asked him to give a simile. So Venerable Nagasena said, now there is a tree without any fruits. Can you say that the fruits are existing in this place or in that place in the tree? And the king said, no, we cannot say. Then Venerable Nagasena said, in the same way, in this uninterrupted continuity of beings, we cannot say that the kamma is in this place or kamma is in that place. But when the circumstances are favorable, then the kamma gives results. So we cannot say for certain where the kamma or fruits of kamma are stored. But when it is time for them to give results, they give results. Just like we cannot say where the fruits are stored in the tree, in the trunk, or in the branches, or in the root. But when circumstances are favorable for it to produce fruits, that means it gets the moisture, water, and sunshine, and so on, and then it gets a season, then the tree produces the fruits. So in the same way, the results are produced when it is favorable for a particular kamma to give results. So it is how karma works. So to recapitulate, what is karma? First, it is action, good or bad action. But technically, what is karma? Volition or cetana. And what cetanas are karma and what cetanas are not? Oh, I haven't told you that, right? So, cetana arises with all 89 or 121 types of consciousness. But the different time cetana, right? So, a different time cetana or the karma that produces results is the one that is that accompanies these akusala 12 and then 8 kama vajra kusala and 5 rupa vajra kusalas, 4 arupa vajra kusalas and then 4 magas. So cetana that accompanies akusala and kusala cetas is what we call different time karma or the karma that produces result. Cetanas accompanying other types of consciousness, the resultant consciousness and the functional consciousness are not called karma or not called different time karma. They are called same time karma. So they are conditions for the consciousness and mental factors, they arise together with, but not as giving results, but as a support for the existing cetas and cetasikas. So only when cetana accompanies the unwholesome consciousness and wholesome consciousness do we call it a karma. Now, in the link, in the dependent origination, now there is a link between ignorance and karma formations, between avijja and sankharas. And in that dependent origination, in that chain of arising and disappearing, sankharas mean 29 cetanas. That means cetana accompanying the 12 akusala cetas, 8 kama vajra kusala cetas, and 5 rupa vajra kusala cetas, and 4 arupa vajra kusala cetas, and not the path consciousness or magga cetas. Because the doctrine of dependent origination is of the vata, or is of rebirth and death, and not getting out of it. So there, sankharas are described as the cetana that accompanies these 29 types of consciousness. But if we take the result producing in general, then we have to take the 4 magga cetas also. So 29 plus 4, we get 33. So the cetana accompanying these 33 cetas is what we call karma here. And the results of karma consist of cittas, cetasikas, and some rupas, or material properties. And it is impossible to escape the fruition or ripening of karma. Only when one becomes a Buddha or a Pachika Buddha or an Arahant and also attain Parinibbana, can one escape the ripening of karma, or can one get out of the range of ripening of karma? Otherwise, even the Buddhas, Pachika Buddhas and Arahants are not free from experiencing the consequences of their karma in the past, either good or bad. And karma, as a mental factor, has the potential to produce results. Although it disappears immediately after it arising, it can leave the potential to give results in the mental and physical continuity of beings. And when the circumstances are favorable, the results are produced. Now, again, there are two kinds of results we should understand. And that is result at the moment of rebirth and result during life. So there are two kinds of results. One result arises at the moment of relinking or rebirth. We call the rebirth result. And the other kind of result is that arises during life. So during life means immediately after rebirth until death comes. So there are two kinds of result. One, a rebirth result, and the other, what shall we call it? Lifetime result. So there are two kinds of result. Now, a karma may give rebirth result, and then a person is reborn as a human being, or reborn as a deva, or reborn as an animal. But during his life also, he will get the results of his past karma. But the results a person gets during life is not as drastic as the one he gets at the moment of patisandhi or rebirth. Because the rebirth result is that you are reborn as a human being, or you are reborn as a deva. The result during life is when you are a human being, you may get good things you like, you may enjoy your life and so on. So that is called the lifetime result. So there are two kinds of results whenever we talk about the karma and its results. So result at birth or rebirth and result during life. So this is karma in general. And in the manual, the classifications of karma are given. So there are four classifications of karma treated in the manual, and they are, you find them on page 201. So they are by way of function, that is the first classification, and the second is by order of ripening, that means by order of giving results. And number three is by time of ripening, by time of giving results. And four, by place of ripening, by place of giving results. So these four classifications are given in the manual. But for the first three, the manual doesn't give much detail. But for the last one, by place of ripening, it gives some detail. Now that is because the first three classifications are classifications according to Suttanta method. So Suttanta method is not as accurate as Abhidhamma method, and so different teachers have different opinions about this. But the last one is according to Abhidhamma method. And so, since this book is a book on Abhidhamma, the last one is treated in some detail. So, by way of function, there are four kinds of karma. The first one is productive karma. The second, supportive karma. And the third, obstructive karma. And the fourth, destructive karma. So producing, supporting, obstructing, and destroying is the function. So their function, the function of one karma is to produce, and the function of another karma is to support, and yet another is to obstruct, and the last one is to destroy. So according to the functions they perform, karma are divided into four. So the first one is called in Pali, or you can see the Pali word in the book, Janaka, Janaka karma. So Janaka means producing. And the second one is called Upatthambaka, supporting. And the third one is called Upapilaka, obstructive karma. Upapilaka means bullying or something. And the fourth is called Upaghataka. Upaghataka means approaching and hitting, approaching and killing. So it is a destructive karma. So productive karma is, let us read the explanation given in the manual. Productive karma is wholesome or unwholesome volition. So these karmas are both wholesome and unwholesome. Sometimes it is wholesome and sometimes it is unwholesome. So productive karma can be wholesome karma or unwholesome karma. So productive karma is wholesome or unwholesome volition, which produces resultant mental states and karma-born materiality. So here also we must add one more, the secondary result of karma. Both at the moment of rebirth linking and during the course of existence. So this karma, productive karma, will give results at both rebirth linking, at the moment of rebirth, and also during life, during the course of existence. At the moment of conception, productive karma generates the relinking consciousness. So at the moment of conception, at the moment of rebirth, it produces relinking consciousness. So relinking consciousness belongs to what type? Kusala or akusala or vibhaga or kriya. Relinking consciousness belongs to vipaka type, not resultant consciousness. So it produces the rebirth linking consciousness and the karma born types of materiality. For example, for human beings, the group of 10 material properties headed by body, headed by sex, and headed by heart. So it is said that 30 kinds of material property are produced at the moment of rebirth for human beings, and also for animals and so on. So the karma-born types of materiality constituting the physical body of the new being. Now, it is the result at the moment of relinking, at the moment of rebirth. And then during the course of existence, that means after that moment, after the moment of rebirth, it produces other resultant chittas and the continuities of karma-born materiality. So during life also, karma produces resultant chittas and karma-born rupas or karma-born materiality. such as the sense faculties. Eyes will be produced not right at the moment of relinking. They are produced sometime later. Now we will study them in the sixth chapter. Sexual determination. Actually, the sex of a fetus is determined at the moment of rebirth, but it becomes manifest only after some weeks. And the heartbeat. So the heartbeat arises at the same moment as relinking. Only a karma that has attained the status of a full course of action can perform the function of producing rebirth linking. Now there are karmas that does not have a full course of action, and there are other karmas that have a full course of action. So see section 22 below. Now suppose a person tries to kill, let us say, an animal. Although he tries to kill the animal was not killed. Now it is an evil action, but it is not called taking life, because although he tries to take life, the animal was not killed. So such an action is called an action that does not have full course of action. But if he succeeds in killing the animal, then his action is called to have a full course of action. Such an action will produce results at rebirth linking. But all wholesome and unwholesome karmas, without exception, can produce results during the course of existence. So after rebirth, all wholesome karmas and unwholesome karmas can produce results. So during lifetime, we are experiencing the results of both wholesome karma and unwholesome karma. Sometimes we get what we want, and this is the result of wholesome karma in the past, and sometimes we meet with failure, or we see what we don't want to see, and so on. At that time, we are experiencing the result of unwholesome karma in the past. So during lifetime, the results of wholesome karma and unwholesome karmas are experienced by all beings. So there are two kinds of results mentioned here, result at the rebirth moment and result during life. So both of these results are produced by this productive karma. This karma is translated in some books as reproductive karma. I also used reproductive karma for some time. And then one of my students, she's an American, told me that the word reproductive is not so good, because it is reproducing same kind, a father and mother reproducing a child and so on. So I changed to productive karma, and luckily Bhikkhu Bodhi has also used this word, productive karma. So productive karma is the one that produces result by itself, that does not support other karma, that does not obstruct other karma, that does not destroy other karma, but that produces result. And the result it produces are at the moment of patisandhi or relinking, as well as during life. So we had a store of this productive karma, and so we are experiencing the result of this productive karma during life, and also when you are reborn as human beings, we experience the result of this productive karma. Now, the second karma in this classification is supportive, upatthambaka karma. And it is also wholesome or unwholesome. So all karmas mentioned in these three categories or classifications are wholesome or unwholesome. So supportive karma is karma which does not gain an opportunity to produce its own results. So it does not give results, this karma, but which, when some other karma is exercising a productive function, supports it. So it supports when the other productive karma is producing result. Supports it either by enabling it to produce its pleasant or painful results over an extended time without obstruction, or by reinforcing the continuum of aggregates produced by another karma. So this is supportive karma. It does not produce any result of its own, but it supports the results produced by other karmas. By enabling the other karma to produce its pleasant or painful results over an extended period of time. That means when you are reborn as a human being, the supportive karma can help you to live longer. So living longer can be the result of supportive karma, and being reborn as a human being is the result of productive karma. Oh, for example, when through the productive function of wholesome karma one is reborn as a human being, supportive karma may contribute to the extension of one's lifespan, so you will live longer, and ensure that one is healthy and well provided with the necessities of life. So what things you get in life are the ones produced by the productive karma, but supported by this karma, the supportive karma. When an unwholesome karma has exercised its productive function by causing a painful disease, so sometimes people have disease, so this painful disease is caused by the productive karma. When it is produced, other unwholesome karma may support it by preventing medicines from working effectively, so you suffer more, thereby prolonging the disease. So sometimes medicines don't work. So you cannot always blame the medical profession. You cannot always blame the producers of the medicine. Sometimes it is your karma that is preventing you from being healed. When a being has been reborn as an animal through the productive force of unwholesome karma, so to be reborn as an animal is the result of akusala karma. So because of akusala karma, beings are reborn as animals. Supportive karma may facilitate the ripening of more unwholesome karma, because the unwholesome karma supports the unwholesome karma, and when the unwholesome karma supports unwholesome karma, you get the painful results. So productive or painful results, and may also lead to an extension of the lifespan. So you would, I don't want to say you. So a being, a dog will live longer, and when he lives longer, he is enduring or he is suffering his life for a longer period of time, so may lead to an extension of lifespan, so that the continuity of unwholesome results will endure long. So these are the workings of karmas. Now, one karma produces and the other karma supports. So when good karma supports another good karma, we get good results, more prolonged results. And when bad karma supports the bad karma, we get more of the bad results. So these are all produced by karma and also supported by karma. Now, in anticipation of the thought process at death, we must understand that the jhanas in the death thought process or the karma or the jitana that arises with the jhanas in the thought process of death are supportive karma. Now please note this, because we'll have to explain it when we reach the death and rebirth thought process. So in the death and rebirth thought process, there are jhanas. So jhanas means there are kusala or akusala. And these jhanas are accompanied by chetana or karma. So the karma during those moments, there are five. The karma during those moments is supportive karma, not productive karma. They support the karma that is going to give the rebirth result. So they are not productive karma, but they are supportive karma. So we'll have to refer to this when we reach the death rebirth thought process at the end of the fifth chapter. So the first is the productive karma, which produces results, and the second is supportive karma, which supports the karma that has already given results. Okay, we'll have a break now.